7:38 at Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Brian Haldane here with you. Governor John Bel Edwards signed the budget yesterday, $30 billion raises going to teachers. We're going to talk about that in our next segment. But right now, we are joined by Congressman Garrett Graves. He meets up with us every Wednesday for a little update. Congressman Graves, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. How about you, Brian?
Could not be better. Could not be better. Got a lot moving. Got a lot going on with your office. So I want to dive right in and start off with the big news about the duplication of benefits loophole being closed.
Yeah. So it's very busy right now. A lot going on. But duplication of benefits is, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag here. Now, on the one hand, we finally have guidance out there laying out a process by which many of the thousands and thousands of families that have been adversely affected by the duplication of benefits issue. They took a loan out and were later told they couldn't get a grant because they got a loan. No one thinks a loan and a grant are duplicative except for the federal government. So again, good news is that we've laid out a path forward from HUD, from the federal agency, that allows thousands of these folks to get paid. The problem is that they introduce new criteria in here, basically some income thresholds, and trying to box out a significant portion of these duplication of benefits victims from ever getting their money. I think it's unlawful in what they've done. It's not consistent with the bill that I wrote that we passed. They certainly are trying to make this more bureaucratic and more hurdles. So we're continuing to work with them. But look, you know, good news, three things real quick. Number one, they allowed for interest payments to be covered. Number two, they allowed for those that are below a financial threshold, an income threshold, to be able to get their duplication of benefits payment. Number three, they finally laid out sort of a path forward of the steps that need to be taken in order for us to get there, which we've been waiting 8 months for that, and we're approaching 3 years from the actual flood. So a few good things in there, but they have screwed up, in my opinion, the guidance. So we're continuing to work with them on that to get it perfected.
That income threshold was exactly where I was going right from jump. So I do want to expound on that. I want you to expound on that a little bit.
Sure.
You said you're continuing the fight to get rid of that. How big of a fight is this going to be, and how much longer is it going to take? Because we're already 3 years removed from the flood.
Oh, look, there's. Let me be clear. I mean, there's no excuse for how long these folks are taking to get this stuff done. And this is, I mean, I couldn't even imagine being one of these people holding the bag on all this ridiculousness. But the deal is, in terms of income threshold, what they've done is they basically have come in and created new criteria that, for example, may require folks, like a family of three, that are earning, I think when we did the calculations, over $80,000 a year, that they may be excluded from being able to get an additional payment from the Restore Louisiana program. It's unfair because they're introducing new criteria and finding new ways to effectively block these folks from getting paid. But again, you know, they did clarify things like the people who didn't actually accept the loan and things like that. So it's kind of a mixed bag in some of the things they fixed and some of the things they messed up.
Congressman Garrett Graves is our guest. Got a couple of other things I want to touch on, but while our time is short, not the least of which is, a couple days ago, you had a meeting with Mayor Sharon Weston Broome about, and we're going to be flood heavy today, a meeting with Sharon Weston Broome about the flood protection in Baton Rouge specifically. There's a ton of money coming to town. What came from that meeting to make sure we're maximizing that money?
Yeah, well, we had a really, really good meeting. And look, there's a lot of confusion out there. We kind of went the shotgun approach where we looked for every funding stream we could, thinking we'd get one or two of them. We ended up getting all five of the five we sought. And so now we have $3 billion through five different programs that all have different sets of rules, requirements, cost shares, and things like that. And so I think that, you know, say it again, I think there's a lot of confusion out there for what's going on. The good news is that we're going to have the best flood protection we've ever had. One of the components of the $3 billion in funding we secured is $255 million for flood control in the Baton Rouge area. And it's Beaver Bayou, Blackwater Bayou, the north part of the parish. It's Jones Creek, Ward Creek, and Bayou Fountain. in the southern part of the parish. There is a cost share required, and you have to put your, it's a total of $65 million. A large portion of that can be paid over 30 years, but there is sort of a down payment that's required for the real estate. You have to buy the real estate that's needed for the project on the front end, so sometime over the next probably 2 to 3 years. And so on the other large projects, there's a project in the River Parishes, there's a project called Comeet Project that most folks are aware of. The state has come in and provided a significant portion of the cost share for those. But we also saved the state tens of millions of dollars on the Comeet Project for how we got the funding for that one. Most of it's 100% federal cost, eliminating the need for the state to put up a big chunk of money. So what we did is we said, hey, look, let's move these savings from Comeet over to the Baton Rouge Project from the state. The city can put up a little bit of money, and we can pay this over, you know, 30, probably 34 years. So we should be able to work it out. And I think that the mayor and I had a really good conversation, both committed to trying to figure out where to find these funds. We're going to be meeting with the governor sometime in the next couple of weeks to talk to him about it as well. But bottom line, Brian, is that this is $250 million. We cannot leave it on the table. We've got vultures out there circling. This is one of the last projects to be locked in through an agreement signed between the Corps, the state, the city, and we have got to get this thing moving.
Did I hear right in that answer that it's going to be you were projecting roughly 3 years before we start to see some real life application to flood relief?
Well, there will be some shorter term progress. I think, for example, there are even efforts where we're having discussions, preliminary discussions about maybe even looking at moving out or separating the Beaver and Blackwater Bayou sections that may be ready to go a little bit sooner up in the central area. So we could see progress even before then. The 3 years is probably when the last parcel of real estate will be needed.
Okay.
And so, but it doesn't mean that that will be when we first start seeing progress. We could see progress. If we can get this agreement locked down, we could see progress probably within about the next 12 to 18 months.
Well, that's a much better outlook than what I thought I was hearing.
It really is. And look, this is a big deal. I mean, just the rain we had a couple of weeks ago, of course, the August flood, and it's important to keep in mind, look, you can't get places, it's not safe, but also, you know, your home, I mean, that's where the majority of your money is invested, it's where your family tries to stay safe. We've got to protect these assets, our homes, our businesses, and we can do better than we're doing now, and this money is going to certainly take us several steps forward. I'm really excited about these projects.
Congressman Garrett Graves is our guest. I want to shift from flood protection to infrastructure for a minute because I was reading on your Facebook page yesterday about addressing the region's traffic crisis. I want to know a little bit more about what's going on there.
Well, so we are trying to negotiate a new transportation bill, a new highway bill. We did one in December of 2015, the first year that I was here. We made substantial progress for Louisiana and just, you know, helping connect the dots. That's why we're seeing the work on I-10 right now between Highland Road and Dutchtown Prairieville exit. That's why we're making progress right now on the PQ exit. That's why the Washington Street exit configuration is all being changed and improved. So a lot of progress in that one, but now we're working on a new bill trying to get additional funds to the state to where we can work on things like a new bridge crossing the river. The problem we're at right now, we're sort of in a stalemate in that no one wants to talk funding streams. Both the president and Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi, have kind of both just said, you know, I'm not going first, or I don't want to talk about this at this point. And they've got a lot of, I think, personality and policy differences. So we're continuing to work on some of the policy side, but really having a tough time figuring out how we change the financing stream. Right now, there's a gas tax that all of us pay at the pump. That goes to Washington. For every $1 we send from the pumps in Louisiana, we're getting $1.31 back. And we're just trying to work on updating the financing stream to make sure that we can continue making robust investments in some of our transportation projects in Louisiana and across the country. And that's sort of the stalemate at this point.
Congressman Garrett Graves is our guest. What else are you working on right now?
Well, I'll tell you, we got two or three of the big things. Last night, we did an amendment, a big argument on the House floor about the Corps of Engineers. We're trying to move them out of the Department of Defense or find a better way of getting these Corps projects out the door. We've got people fighting us, which is just fascinating because I believe anybody who fights us on this doesn't understand how the Corps works or doesn't. Number two, we've got a hearing this morning that we're leading on the 737 MAX, the Boeing crash. We have Sully Thunberg, the pilot who landed the plane in the Hudson, coming along with many others to talk about a better path forward for aviation safety. And then we've got about 80 to 100 amendments that we have written, our office has written, on four bills that are going through the House Resources Committee, unfortunately, at the same time as our aviation hearing, so we're going to be running back and forth, where they're trying to take some of our offshore energy money and give it to California, Nevada, Idaho, all these other states where they're trying to buy federal land for national parks and do maintenance on those lands, saying it's important for conservation. And I'm saying, wait a minute, we need conservation right in Louisiana where this money is coming from. You're not going to rob all of our money and send it to other states and ignore the conservation problem with the coast in Louisiana, the flooding and hurricane vulnerability. So we're going to make this a really difficult markup for them. We're going to point out all the policy problems with what they're trying to do. But in this case, you had the chairman of the committee, the Democrats in this case, refused to talk to us, negotiate with us, and are just trying to shove this bill through. So we're going to make it a little difficult for them and show them the policy problems with what they're doing and why robbing Louisiana like this is not a good idea for the overall environment or conservation efforts.
Did you say 80 to 100 amendments
over
four?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
That's fun.
You know, and Brian, we could have gone even higher, but the deal is that this is how many policy problems there are with their bills. They haven't thought this through. It's penny wise, pound foolish.
Right.
And you can't go out there and tout all these environmental groups. Oh, we're doing this for the environment. Whenever one of the biggest environmental crises that's existential in Louisiana mm-hmm. is what's going on with our coast, our vulnerability to flooding and hurricanes in the southern part of the state. And we're not going to let them. We're not going to stand there and let them just take our money and try and give it to these other states. It's awful policy. It's unfair. And we're gonna really help to put some sunshine on the policy problems with what they're trying to do.
We'll stay on them. We'll pick up with you next week. Congressman Garrett Graves, thank you for the time, man.
You bet. Thanks, Brian. Take care.
Thanks. Your Money Now coming your way.